Hi, everybody. This is Armand Demel.
And this is Roberta Maria Atti.
With you with the positive mind, memeing to bring you some interesting information today.
Why well
are
said.
You laughing, memeing?
Well said. memeing, yes. Memeing to bring you information about memes. The magic of memes is the title of today's program, and today we are talking about these funny little units of what, Armand?
It's a micro minuscule, if you might say. Imagine a tiny, tiny bit of information called a meme. M-E-M-E. Who made up that word? You know, they said it because, I think they made up the word because it sounded like a gene.
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine something as small as a gene.
Yeah, just like a gene is an information bit of physical stuff, a meme is an information bit of mental stuff. And the person who came up with this word and this idea is Richard Dawkins, who wrote the book The Selfish Gene.
For years, people have tried to figure out how certain things happen. You know, you've heard of the 100th monkey.
Right.
You know, the 100th monkey was kind of an interesting phenomenon. How did that happen?
Well, it was observed that some monkeys on an island were washing their yams before eating them. And simultaneously, on a different island, far away, where there would not have been any possibility of the monkeys on the second island having observed the monkeys on the first island, similar monkeys started to wash their yams. And so zoologists and biologists questioned the possibility of the spontaneous emergence of new behaviors without any communication between members of the same species.
New and useful behaviors, because
right.
the grit on yams used to be a problem to monkeys.
Sure.
So all over the
teeth.
World, monkeys used to grind down their teeth and they used to hurt their teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly a monkey discovered on some little island, oh, I think I'll wash this yam in water. And so then,
yeah.
After a certain number of monkeys washed this yam, a monkey on some other island who couldn't possibly have gotten a phone call from its cousin, you know, it couldn't have said, Guido, try washing your yam, because they didn't have phones down
right.
in that part of the islands.
Right.
Suddenly they start washing the yams. So there comes the question, the 100th monkey syndrome. How did this happen? Well, memes. This is where the meme comes in. A meme is a cognitive informational structure able to replicate using a human host, and it influences a human host's behavior to promote replication. Think about this. A meme is like a virus.
Right.
You know, a virus gets in your body. The virus has a job. Virus gets in your body. It doesn't just want to be in your body. It wants to replicate. It goes in your nose. You know why you sneeze? The reason you sneeze is because the virus says, I don't want to live inside you and just contaminate you. I want to become billions and billions and billions of babies. And I want to spread out and I want to get into all those other humans. So that they'll pick us up through your nose and through your tissues and through your hands. Not that viruses are bad, they just like getting around.
Well, it's a transmission of information, and whether there's no need to define the goodness or the badness. It's just information, and so it is for ideas and mental bits. They can be communicated from one individual to another in various ways. There's many ways of transmission.
Wait, I was talking about viruses.
Right, well, just like viruses can be transmitted through a cup, through a handkerchief, through a sneeze, through a door knob, through, you know, in a number of ways. And it's the same thing for mental memes. They can be transmitted in a number of ways, and they only become active once they are in the mind of the host.
So a meme, which we're talking about, is a tiny particle of information that sits somewhere in a human host that somehow gets through there and then gets transmitted So there are two important parts of every meme, or two aspects of every meme. They're called, one is called the host, and what's the other one called?
The vector.
The vector. What's a vector?
A vector is a carrier of a meme, but a vector is not affected by the meme. It's the same thing as if, let's say, you have a virus that you carry and you can spread to someone else, but the virus does not do any harm or is not active in your own system. So you carry it and you're able to give it to someone else, but it's not active in you. And it's the same thing with memes. You could be the carrier of a meme, a mental bit, that it's in you and you can spread it, but it does not activate any behavior, any emotion, any reaction in you. A good example
what's an example?
I wanted to give an example because I think we're being a little too abstract here. Let's say during the time after 9/11 when we had all of those orange alerts, pink alert, blue alert, and these alerts were communicated through the media, through the newspaper, through the TV, through the radio, etc. Let's say that a person believes the media, and therefore these alerts would activate an emotion, in this case, fear. So the person's behavior and feelings and state of mind, for as long as these alerts were going on, was conditioned by that meme, the meme of there could be a terrorist attack. However, let's say that a person hears this alert but doesn't believe what the government says. Let's say someone who does not have a lot of confidence in the government. That person may hear that alert and therefore they become a vector of that meme, because they absorb that bit of information, but it does not activate in that individual the same response as it does in someone else, in which it can activate fear and panic and nightmares and insomnia and a bunch of other stuff. So the difference between a host and a vector is that in the host, the meme is active.
Wait, I thought
the vector.
I thought, Roberta, that I thought some people can be a host and a vector.
Some people can be, yes.
Okay, now let's talk about the Macarena. I want to get down to real facts here. You know, let's talk about the important stuff. I challenge any of you right now, because we're talking about memes. The Macarena is a meme.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's how the Macarena happened. It happened with a meme.
Remember how it spread?
Remember how that happened. First, a little thing goes into your mind, and then it somehow, through a number of factors. Now, memes happen through a number of things. They have to feed a number of purposes. First, a little music goes into your head. Then you find it a little stupid. Then it's a little annoying. But then it's kind of cute. Then you're looking at some people who look kind of stupid, but then you see they're doing a forbidden thing. They're touching their own body. Now they're touching their own butt, you know, and that was a very important part of this thing, turning around and slapping their butts. So now it was a little forbidden. And now everybody was doing it. Then it became kind of a line dance. And then it became, you were like, it was Mexican, so people could kind of make fun of it a little bit. And then everybody was kind of laughing at it, and they were doing it on television. And then, you know, TV hosts were doing it. Now, you remember that song, and every time it would come on, it would annoy you at first, and then you did it, and then you did it with your friends? Now, watch this. This is the magic of a meme. This little bit of information became a piece of information that swept over the globe. Yes, were they doing it in Italy?
Sure.
Roberta, right? Yeah. It swept all from Mexico to Italy. I would love to hear the words in Italian.
No. It was the same song.
Same
in English.
Spanish, yeah. Huh?
No, people couldn't. I don't know what language it was in, but
It was in Spanish. It was in Mexican Spanish. So then they were finally doing this everywhere. But now this is the magic of a meme sometimes. Try to remember the tune. I dare any of you out there. get on the phone right now. We'll have you call in, and you will remember the entire... Try to sing me the tune. You will see, as you remember it, the only part you could remember is, "Hi, Macarena."
Right.
Because we did a survey here at our office. We called everybody in, and we said, "Could you tell me the tune of Macarena?" And nobody could remember it. So this is the way a meme works, you see. A meme works that it has a usable part, and then as soon as it's unusable, it kind of disappears.
Well, the
prejudice works that way.
The
I'm sorry,
quality Lynn. Of a meme is that it replicates to ensure its own survival. So the meme, intrinsic, one of the properties intrinsic in the meme is that it wants to perpetuate itself and with the least amount of change. So that if you use the Macarena as an example, if you did translate that song, let's say, in Italian, it would lose power. It would no longer be that powerful because the way in which it is conveyed, the way in its original form, it's the most effective for its own replication. So a meme, same way like a gene, is designed to replicate itself within the host and to compel the host to spread it around, so much so that the meme comes with a hook. A hook is a motivational factor contained within the meme that compels the host to spread it around for one reason or another. Isn't that amazing?
What's amazing about this to you, Roberta, is the whole concept of abstract thought, of unified thought, the unified field theory, the entire whole, you know, it's everything we think. It's our connection to each other.
Well, what's interesting...
is through a web of thought, you know.
What is interesting to me is that there is such a parallel between the way cellular activity, cellular structure... works and the way that mental bits work, that's what is most remarkable to me, that you can take the structure of the mind and compare it to a biological structure and find that they work in the same way.
Give me an example of that.
Well, just like you can have, let's say you can be the carrier of a virus, and the virus could be active in you, and then you would also be considered the host and the victim. Also, you could be the carrier of a meme, and the meme could be active within you, and then that would mean that meme has conditioned you, has influenced you, that in some form, to some degree, that meme is conditioning your behavior, your choices, your thinking, your outlook on life. And so that's what's fascinating to me, that you can take a virus and you can take... I mean, a virus is kind of a negative analogy because a virus, it has a connotation of being destructive. But memes can also be positive. They don't have to be a negative meme. They don't have to be destructive. They don't have to be something that bring people to behave in ways that are bad. But what's interesting is that this mental bit of information takes control of a little piece of your mind. And for instance, you may find yourself humming the Macarena. You don't want to, you don't do it on purpose, but it happens. And it seems like it's beyond your ability to stop it, you see?
But it is reflecting something. It reflects in you that there is a need that is unconscious, and that the humming of the Macarena is because a meme is fitting. A need inside you that is fitting a need inside other people. And it could be a need for family, a need for touching, a need for connection. You see, and that may be where the Macarena fat fit in. It kind of slid into this place of, let's have a celebration. And maybe that's what the need was. So in our world here on The Positive Mind with Roberta Maria Atti and Armand DeMille, we kind of say, well, you know, consciousness is a very interesting concept. The more conscious you become, the more aware of yourself you become, the more aware of your own memes you become. And the more aware of your memes you become, the more aware of your unconscious memes you become. Let me give you an example of some memes that you definitely want to be aware of. Prejudice is a meme.
Definitely.
Bias is a meme.
Definitely.
Conspiracy theory is a meme.
Mm-hmm.
The belief in it. Paranoia is a meme.
Absolutely. I was going to say that panic, I mean, any kind of fear is very contagious in the minds of humans, isn't
sure.
it, Armand?
Group-based biases, everything from anti-Semitism, racism, cargo cults, those are all memes. You get it, you get the idea, you plant a little seed somewhere, and then that seed grows. And then you take that seed and you add a little fear. Now, it's a good point here to talk about the two different kinds of memes. One is called symbiotic and the other is called parasitic.
Well, shouldn't we at least define the modes of transmission so that people have an idea of what we're talking about?
Sure, go ahead.
How memes are conveyed?
Yes, go ahead. I'm going in a little edge, right?
Well, I'm just thinking that I think it would be helpful to describe how memes can be conveyed. You know how when you open an email and there is an attachment, your server will ask you, are you sure you want to open this email?
That's only on certain servers.
On some servers. Well, that's because that email or that attachment could contain something that could damage your computer. Well, in a way, a meme is a bit of mental information that is only to be concerned about when it becomes active. Because if it's not active, it's not doing anything. And a meme that is conveyed to me, for instance, in Russian, if someone were to convey a meme to me in Russian, it would not be active because I don't understand that language. So a meme must be able to become part of the host's, of the recipient's structure in order to be effective. A meme can be conveyed through a song, through an email, through a letter, through an image, through a picture, through a sentence, a slogan, an advertisement, a movie, through any of the ways in which we communicate information, us humans, and we can even exchange memes with our pets and with animals in general, although those are much simpler memes. But humans can spread memes through any way in which humans communicate, basically. And often, memes are hidden within the container message, so that the person who receives the meme may or may not be aware that they are...
Can you give me an example of that, Roberta?
An example of that could be if I sing a song that evokes a romantic feeling in a person. The person is listening to the song and they're not necessarily aware that that song is now going to go in their mind.
Well, no, let me give you one. How about this? You better be good. You better not cry. You better not, I'm telling you why Santa Claus is coming to town.
Okay.
Now, there's a song about Santa Claus, but we're telling you, you better be good. You better not cry. And we're telling you, you better be obedient. So we're striking you with fear.
Right.
Somewhere inside this Santa Claus is coming to town, we're putting in a suggestion that you better be frightened.
That
underneath it, bad behavior is going to be punished.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right. That's one thing
that
memes do.
Like a sub-meme.
memes influence behavior or dictate behavior. Memes can evoke emotions or feelings. Memes can change your chemistry, you know?
For sure.
They can change your
digestion. Sure, it'll certainly set up enough tension. You know, if it'll trigger a tension, it'll trigger a reaction inside of you, your digestion, your hormones.
Everything,
your,
yes.
Everything inside
they
of you.
They can take away your sleep.
Yeah.
They can, you know, they can, you can be in love with someone and then you get a meme that it puts that bug into you that you start to doubt that person and now you're not able to relax when you're with them. That's a meme. And you don't know how you got it.
Or your mother may be carrying you around somewhere in her arms and saying to you when you're a young boy and you're 6 months old, nobody will ever love you the way I do. And that little meme is set in your head, and then when you're a young adult and you're trying to fall in love with a woman, somewhere you find that it's impossible to bond
with
anybody.
It doesn't match up to mom's love.
Right, and it just doesn't match up. This is Armando Moza, Roberta Maria Atti. We're talking about these little sub-miniature particles that get into our minds, and that these match up with a whole bunch of particles later. And let me give you some good examples of these. And we're talking about memes. Now, you know, a jingle, an advertising slogan that is set to an engaging melody, that's a classic example of a meme.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another one is jokes. Jokes that are considered particularly funny, you know, one that makes you laugh suddenly. It kind of brings together a whole bunch of things, and that's a meme. Proverbs, aphorisms. Like you can't keep a good man down.
Mm.
You know, that's a meme. Nursery rhymes are memes. Epic poems, you know, are once important memes for preserving an oral history.
Something like the...
fashion, by the way. Talk about fashion as a meme.
Oh, definitely.
You know, how does fashion become... Fashion is based on a meme.
Well, fashion, for instance... you know, now there's a lot, there's been for a few years this fashion that the women's shoes have this long pointed tip.
Stiletto tip, right.
And that's a meme, and I've actually heard women in shoe stores say to the salesperson, well, you gotta buy these shoes with the long tip because that's what everybody's wearing. That's what, you know, like they can't buy a shoe that has a rounded tip because they are so convinced that if they did that, they would be out of fashion and everybody would laugh at them. Now, is that a conscious meme? No, I don't think it is. I don't think that woman is thinking, well, whose mind is this making this decision that I should buy the shoe with the long tip? It's not a conscious one, but it's a very active one because that woman was not going to buy a pair of shoes that didn't have a 3-inch tip.
I saw a fascinating thing the other day, Roberta. I have over the years, people have bought me, and I must say, because I find ties artistic.
Uh-huh.
You know, they bought me ties. People buy me ties. Beautiful ties. Wonderful ties. I don't wear ties very often, but I like the way they look. They're mm-hmm. pretty. So every year, ties change in width. Now, mm-hmm. this is a thing about men. They have wide ties, thin ties,
right.
Wide ties, thin ties. So they kind of alternate. Every year, a tie is either wide in fashion or thin in fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Some years they get wider than thinner, then wider than thinner. So somebody did a study over the years, and they went down 2005, wide, 2004, wider, 2003, thin, 2002, wide, 2001.
You remembered them,
one,
too.
No, I didn't remember.
Oh,
they actually laid them out.
Okay.
And they go back all the way to the to 1972, mm-hmm. extra wide.
Mm-hmm.
And now they go to 2006, and you know what they have in 2006?
What do they have?
No tie.
Oh, really?
They did away with the tie.
Wow.
That the fashion is no tie. And I looked at it, and I said, what? And they said, that's it. The new fashion is no tie.
And
I felt the shock to my system.
I
said,
can
what
imagine.
About all those memes? not what about all those ties? What about all my tie
what do
memes?
I do with my memes now?
What do I do with my memes?
Wow. But see... That's exactly what it is, that if you have it in your mind that unless you follow the fashion, you don't fit in. Then if you find out by mistake that you're wearing the wrong tie or the wrong pair of shoes or the wrong outfit in the wrong way, etc., what that activates in you, it's a whole host of self-doubt and self-deprecation and self-questioning that gets activated because of that meme.
But you see, the other truth is the more you get to know yourself, the more you learn that you have another meme working for you.
Oh, now you're talking about the contra memes.
Yeah.
I thought that was for the next part of the program.
Exactly right. We're going to take a short break. And when we get back, my friends,
what's your memes?
We're going to talk about the contra memes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is Armand DeMille with Roberta Maria Atti. We hope you find this as fascinating as we do, because the study of the memes is just amazing as everything else here that is done on WBAI, the wonderful WBAI. Just to mention to you a couple of more things that they do, you know, medical and safety advice that gets fed on to you early, you know, like don't swim for an hour after eating,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, always steer in the direction of the skid.
Oh, Armand, listen to this. You know, I have a little puppy, and so I have a neighbor who has a puppy, and she comes out with her little puppy, and there I am with mine, and so I'm all eager to get the puppies to play together, and she says to me, oh no, I can't let mine play with yours because mine does not have all her shots yet. What kind of a meme is that, that a puppy cannot play with another puppy because of no shots? I could not believe that's a very good example of a meme.
No, it was just a meme lady. We'll be back
well
in
said,
a little
well
bit.
Said.
It's just about 1:30, give or take a minute or so. This is Armand DeMille, WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial here in New York City. We'll be back with you in a little bit, my friends. Here's a little music from the Mosquitoes. This is Armand DeMille back with you with The Positive Mind. A very difficult concept, this concept of memes, and a very important one. You know, we
it's very important because we have symbiotic memes and we have opportunistic memes.
We've got to get back to the simple of this, Roberta, because even though, you know, you and I understand it, We have to kind of get this back to the basics for people to understand a meme. A meme is a tiny bit of information. It's a tiny bit of information that is planted in our mind, and it's put in our mind.
I think I have a good way, Armand, that could really explain it.
Really simple.
Really simple. Let's say that someone I really trust and believe in comes in through the door and says, in English, leave, the building is about to collapse. Okay. That bit of information would activate a behavior in me, as well as a number of emotions, that would control what I do for the next, let's say, 15 minutes. Let's say that that individual, same person, walks in through that door and says the same thing in Chinese. That meme would not have any effect on me because I don't have the structure for which that meme could become active.
No, it's not simple. What's not simple about it is it's the phrase, not the meme, that's not going to have an effect on you. See, what they did was had a phrase, not a meme. The meme is the thing inside our mind that is it's like a little kernel that sits in our mind that is going to react to the phrase. Okay, so let's try it another way.
If the content of a meme is capable of interacting with my mind, then that meme becomes activated and it influences me. But if the content of a meme cannot interact with my mind in such a way that it works together, that meme is not going to become active in my mind, and therefore I'm not going to be affected by it. See, the meme is the actual bit of information that is conveyed to me through that sentence. Leave, the building is about to collapse. That's a meme in the sense that it's a bit of information that someone who has that bit of information, the host, is also the vector, and conveys that information to me, and if I receive it and understand it, that bit of information is a meme that conditions my behavior because it means something to me, and therefore it interacts with my own mind. But if that person speaks Chinese and their meme, the way that they convey it to me does not fit with my mental structure, then that meme does not become active in my mind and I do not react. And then therefore, that meme is not going to be activated. It's not going to be effective. So in order for a meme to be effective, it has to interact with the host's mind in such a way that the host's behavior, feelings, emotions, thoughts, reactions are affected by it.
This is Armand DeMille with Roberta Mariotti. We're talking about a concept called memes that was originally started by Richard Dawkins in a book called The Selfish Genes. What was that, back in 1970?
I don't know the date of that book, Armand. No, I think it's more recent. I think it's in the 90s, actually.
And it was kind of an interesting book. It was the idea is that we have, you know, we have a kind of a way that we have of communicating with each other. And we have a way of communicating that can be a way that's so fast and so speedy that we can carry to each other emotionally. I mean, did you ever notice how you can erupt in emotion from a group of people sitting in a movie theater? You know, and he could do it through a picture, through a vision. And it's just like a simple thing, you know. You put a photograph up or you put a sight on a movie and you just, you know, you have that in a movie theater and then all of a sudden everybody has a tear in their eye. Why? Because somewhere in their mind was this mental set, this little kernel, this little micro viral thing which we're calling a meme, which they've called a meme, which is a little thing that joins the rest of the people. Now there's a beauty in this. The beauty in this is that we are all connected. The beauty of it is that we can be connected to each other spiritually, emotionally, in a positive way as well as in a negative way. In the negative ways, we see this when you see gang stuff that goes on, you know. I mean, you can find mob rule is an activation of a meme. You know, you could see hangings.
Among, what about the, we said we were going to define the contra memes. I think
well,
that
let me
that
not
might,
go there. Let me just finish what I'm
that
saying.
That might
okay?
help. With
okay. Let me just finish this part, okay?
You were saying gangs?
Yes. Yeah, so there are a number of things that could take place that are in a positive sense where you could have... You could have a kind of a, just a general feeling of love with the entire world, where we could join together, where we could be at peace together, where we could care about each other. Where does caring come from? Where does universal love come from? Well, I believe that there is a mimetic connection that we have for each other that we have got, that we allow. And that there is stuff that is put inside of us that we have to become aware of that blocks that connection. The importance of this discovery, the importance of the discovery of memes that are in a way activated by triggers that could be put inside of us, that could be available to us, that we're not sure of, you know, that are unconscious, by being aware of the unconscious triggers to other memes, you know, like things like Roberta was saying about 9/11, you know, the red alert or orange alert that makes you go buy tape for windows. You know, but being aware of the stuff that triggers you, you can get the stuff out of the way that blocks your ability to be compassionate and loving. What stops you? What stops you from reaching out to somebody around you? What stops you from putting your hand out to somebody? What stops you when you see a crisis from putting out your hand? What stops you? Fear. Where does that fear come from? That fear mainly comes from a series of memes that have come to you from people who have used these memes to frighten you, to hold you in place. So this brings us to the introduction of the contra memes, which are essential at this point, I think, to understand.
Okay, well, as I said before, in order for a meme to become active, it has to interact with my mind in such a way that my mind accommodates it. In the same way, like a virus does not become active in everyone who is infected with it. If people are around someone with the cold, some people are going to catch it and some people are not. So what makes that difference? Well, in our immune system, physiologically, we have cells that have learned to recognize a certain virus. And so the moment that virus shows up, these cells in our immune system protect us, become activated, and they protect us from infection. In the same way, we have the contra memes, and these are mental bits that I believe we create as we live. We learn to activate as needed as we go through life. And so that when, for instance, we receive a racist meme from someone else, when we are exposed to a meme of prejudice and sexism and fear and all these things that could trigger a negative response, if we have a contra meme, if we have developed a contra meme that says, no, what that message is saying is not true for me. I do not believe in racism, sexism, all these isms. I do not believe in that. We activate the contra meme almost immediately, automatically, and unconsciously. There's no need for us to even think about it once it's being established. So if we have the contra meme that doesn't allow racism, there is no one on earth that can infect us with the meme of racism, because we're already immune to that mindset, to that meme.
Well, now you get back to the Macarena. You see, because it is through that, it is through the person saying, I don't want to hear the Macarena anymore, that the Macarena gets extinguished. It is through the person saying, I don't want to hear the racism anymore,
right,
that the racism stops.
Right, exactly.
So when the person has a counter meme that says, oh, wait a minute, you can't say that, you know, I'm not going to get in a taxi cab where you, the driver, are allowed to talk like that about people.
Right.
You know, I'm getting out of this cab.
And what's fact?
I'm not going to allow you as a passenger to get in my taxi cab if you're a driver.
Right.
And talk that way about people.
And what's fascinating is that in the same way, like the immune system is unconscious, it becomes active on its own accord. You don't have to think about, oh, I have to develop T cells to protect myself from cold virus. You don't have to think about it. It does it by itself. So are the contra memes. If you have them, if you have worked on yourself enough, or if it could just be spontaneous, but if you have the contra memes that do not allow a certain idea to take hold, like when we had the orange alerts. Let's say that you already had a meme in you, a little bit of mindset that said, no, I don't believe in these fear-provoking propagandas. Well, that bit would have become activated immediately the moment these orange alerts were going on. And so you would have been protected from that panic that spread throughout the population, and you would not have lost your sleep, you would not have been upset, you would not have been scared, you would have been just probably annoyed by the threats at the most, but not scared. So the memes, mental bits of information, just like microorganisms, can only become active in a host when the host has the right terrain for them to take hold and multiply.
Well, keep in mind, too, what the host usually gets. Part of what a host gets by multiplying a gene, a meme, is they usually get some kind of benefit from it. You know, so in other words, if I have this fear and I repeat this fear, I'm usually getting something out
right.
of it, like self-aggrandizement, like passing along a chain letter, you mm-hmm. know.
Right.
I have the power of passing this chain letter along. I want people to feel frightened. I want to have power behind it. If you don't get your power from sources like that, you know, then, and if you don't let people have power from sources like that. You know, Roberta, I think there's another gene, another meme.
Mm-hmm.
I'm keep confusing the two because it's so close, and they meant me to confuse these two, didn't
right.
they?
Yes, they did. Yes.
There's another meme here, which I could see that you and many of the people I know have developed. It's not a contra meme. It's a different kind. It's a counter meme. There's a way when you see fear that instead of just not buying the fear, which was one way of extinguishing fear, you counter the fear by seeing it for what it is, as fear itself.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is you see fear, and when you see fear as only fear, you can love fear.
Sure. But see, this is another form of...
This is the other level of it. Now you've got a new meme.
It's another form of immunity. See, this to me is mental immunity. But I think that mental immunity...
Oh, I think it even goes beyond immunity.
Just like physical immunity is something that you've developed.
I think it's beyond immunity.
What do you think it is?
Well, you know, this is where I think we go. I don't think it's immunity. I don't think we're just protecting ourselves.
No, it's not
protection. I think it's development.
Protective.
I think it's evolution.
Yes, I don't think it's protection. I think it's actual, you know, it's not reactive, it's proactive. It's the way we choose to live. We choose not to live in fear. We choose to live in
love.
In love, yes. And I do believe, Armand, that we are constantly creating memes, us human beings, continuously creating new memes and infecting each other with these memes. But some of the memes that are emerging now in response to all the suffering that we've had are really beautiful memes, and they're spreading so fast. Well, for example, the meme that you just said, that there's a way to not deny fear, but to look at it and feel compassion or feel acceptance or feel surrender or feel any of those things that kind of neutralize it without eliminating it.
Well, I could talk about you, you know, and the way you are with illness and death. I could talk about the way I've seen you be personally with you, with whenever you see illness or you see death. You're so unreactive to it and so embracing of it the way it is, as opposed to reactive, that it's completely different. You know?
You're right. That's not a protection. It's actually
no. It's not a protection. Right. It's an evolution. It's an embracement which changes it, you know,
mm-hmm.
It actually
yes.
changes
well,
it.
Yes, but it means do evolve and do mutate.
I see the way it's
like
working
genes.
With yo-yo.
With yo-yo?
With yo-yo.
What's
it's
going
working.
On with yo-yo?
I'll tell the yo-yo story next week.
Okay.
I'm working on it.
But it's working.
It's working.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, I think that in spite of the complexity of the topic, I think, Armand, that we've done a good job explaining what this is and giving the most important thing to the audience, in my opinion, is giving them the concept that they are, you know, that you can look for your own memes, whatever is in there, and you can find the memes that you want to disable.
Oh, yes, and let me recommend it. This is one where you go to your sources. Now, go to your internet and look up the word meme, M-E-M-E. Start with Wikipedia, and you have 22 pages of fabulous information. But the sources that you found, Roberta, what else did you find?
Well, actually, I have a really good source, and his name is Leslie Feiger. I don't know how to pronounce his name. F-I-E-G-E-R. He has a website where he has a lot of information about memes. And these are people who really believe. I mean, memes, of course, is only a theory. We talk about it as if they were real things. This is only a theory. And yet, these are people who are doing intensive research, scientific research on memes, and that are coming up with incredible information.
They're mostly biologists, aren't
yes,
they?
Yes, mostly biologists, yes. Because memes affect biology. And so researchers got to the concept of memes through observing genes. So we get to the analogy between the mind and the body and the connections between the two by observing how microorganisms behave and finding the similarities between a microorganism and a bit of mental stuff that gets conveyed between one human and the next human, and how does it affect the two humans, the vector and the recipient. And it's just fascinating research. So the name of that in person again is Leslie Feiger, I think F-I-E-G-R, and he's Australian. And what he is saying is that once we understand how memes work and what they are and what memes affect us the most and in what ways, we can actually go to work and take control of those memes that we want to change and allow the memes we want to grow and evolve and expand and disable the memes that we want to get rid of, like the fear meme, like the depression meme, like the poor me meme, or like the I'm scared meme, you know? So I think it's a fascinating field of information and research.
And I think based on biology, even though it is based on biology, and what we're discovering is that there is another way of perceiving our universal connection. There's another way of looking of how we are connected.
Yes.
Because, you know, I tell you, my friend, there's no place more lonely than seeing yourself as not connected in this universe. And if you understand the mimetic connection, if you understand that just on a level of memes we are so connected by so billions and, as our old friend would have said, billions and billions. Right? Billions and billions. But what happened to Pluto, huh? I mean, do you understand? I even have a meme for Pluto, and we don't even have. You know about Pluto, Roberta?
I don't.
Oh, of course, you don't read newspapers.
Because I don't want to be infected with memes.
Do you know that there's no more Pluto?
Where did it go?
They took away the planet.
Who did?
Well, the planet Pluto is no longer a planet. It is now a moon.
Oh.
They discovered it wasn't a planet after all.
It's a moon of what? Of whom?
Neptune.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, so you see that?
Oh, I still like Pluto.
I know, but it's no longer. They took it away. So you see, that's one of those little memes in our mind.
Well, pretty soon Nibiru is going to come, so we're going to have a planet anyway. You know about Nibiru, right?
We certainly do.
Right. It's on its way.
So what the idea of it is, you know, as much as possible, we want to become aware of ourselves, and we want to become aware of what's being put in our mind, not in a paranoid way. We don't want to sit there and say, oh, what are they doing to us? You know, because
no, that would not be.
That's not the best idea. But no. We do want to become aware of what sits in our mind, and the best way to do it is to watch our mind tick. Watch it tick. Listen to yourself. Listen to some of the funny things you say to yourself and you say to other people sometimes.
And go to the source. Like, if I believe something or if I react to something, it would be interesting to ask, what am I reacting to? Or what am I believing that makes me react like this? Or what am I believing that makes me feel this way?
And some of the times you just feel plain silly. And when you feel silly, you know, when you feel silly, you say, huh? You know, I don't really know where this comes from. I remember a lady who once said to me, you should never put your hat on a bed. You know?
Oh, in Italy.
In Italy, right?
Oh,
never put your hat on a bed.
If I would do that, I'd be in big trouble.
And why?
It
comes from lice. It comes from the time in Italy when people had lice.
I didn't know that.
On their heads. And so the lice would get on,
of course.
On the hats.
Of course.
And then if you take the head and you put your hat on a bed, you get the lice in the bed.
I never knew that.
So it was a horrible thing. Never put your hat on a bed.
I thought it was bad luck. I thought it was superstition.
It is bad luck.
If you get lice in your bed.
To get lice in your bed. But
look at that. That's fascinating because, see, that's a meme.
That's a meme.
And it's a meme that's operative in me because I don't put hats on beds. Ever.
You never put a hat on a bed.
I don't. But I've never questioned it, well, because it's not that important, but because it just was like that. There's no hat on the bed, ever. It was really a strict rule in my house. But no one ever explained it to me that way.
And they don't have to. You see what I mean? They don't have to because it's forbidden in your mind.
Oh, yes.
So these are the ones we want to learn about. Hey, my friends, I'll be back with you on Tuesday. No more breaks for a little while. I'll be back with you on Tuesday at 1 p.m. Special thanks to all those folks over at WBAI for making this program happen today.
Yes,
it took a little engineering wonder over there. And we'll be back with you on Tuesday at 1 p.m. A little special for all of you, including Michael G. We're going to give
can I give my website?
Your website is?
Roberta@creativehealthsolutions.org.
And you could go to thepositivemind.com to hear today's program or any of our archives, or send me an email, armand@brainlink.com. Here's a little Dizzy Gillespie and Sonny Rollins from Sunny Side Up, a tune called After Hours.
Dear listeners, this is Indra Hardat, and I would like to take this opportunity to thank the staff, the producers, the volunteers, and each of you for supporting our fall fund drive. Our drive was very successful. With your support, we were able to raise $845,000 in pledges. Thank you so much, and please honor your pledge. Our premium department, in collaboration with the producers and the volunteers, is working diligently to get your premium gift to you in a timely manner. Please be patient. Thanks again for your support. We are counting on you to keep this great radio station alive.
Outgoing Interim General Manager Indra Hardat encouraging you to make good on your pledge to this radio station if you made one during our fall fundraising drive with the here in the wind tunnel. That is the master control of WBAI right now. You're tuned to 99.5 FM WBAI, listener-supported commercial-free community radio. Upcoming Real World with Mike Sargent.
The state is this organized bureaucracy. It is the police department. It is the army, the navy.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.